activate the view screen, and turn on your universal translators, because it is time for another Galactic Netcast.
By your command.
Felt a great disturbance in the Force.
Resistance is futile.
You built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
Exterminate!
Silent Breed is people!
I'll be back.
That sounds like something out of science fiction.
We live in a spaceship, dear.
Hear ye, hear ye. I'm Dave Nelson, and on this first day of October 2014, I call to order the 26th meeting of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club and another Galactic Netcast. Let's commence with the roll call. Matt Stein, is that you? Are you here?
Yeah, I had nothing better going on, so I figured I'd hang out with you guys. It's been a while.
It's been a while. Yeah, it's been like a month or two, hasn't it? It's been July you were last on?
It's been like 3 or 4 weeks. It's been long enough that when you said it was the 26th episode, I thought to myself, hot damn, we've gotten that far already?
Okay, this is your hypothetical question for the week. Which kind of apocalypse would you prefer to experience, to live through? Your choices are alien invasion, robot takeover, or zombie outbreak. Which one?
Hands down, zombie outbreak, because I've been spending a lot of time target practice for said occasion.
Oh, you are preparing for the zombie apocalypse.
That's what I like to tell myself.
Okay. Do you think you'll be able to survive? Or how long do you think you'll be able to survive?
Depends on how much ammo I can get.
Well, you know, you don't necessarily need ammo either. I mean, look at The Walking Dead. They, a lot of times, use axes and knives and katans. Just get yourself a katan, you'll be fine.
But it's much more fun to shoot them in the head.
But then you'll...
Yes, but then you create noise, and then you draw more, and then you run out of ammo, and they're still coming, and
Pish posh.
Okay. Hey, it's your life, my friend. It's your life. All right. That laugh is Mr. Brad Ludwig, and I have to ask you, are you actually here, Brad?
Yes, I am actually here.
Okay.
I think.
All right. Yes. Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. Your question this week, winter is coming. So, what sci-fi ice planet would you prefer to spend the season on?
Typically in sci-fi, if you're on an ice planet, it's a planet where it's up to no good. Rurapente, or was it Delta Vega?
Delta Vega was from the 2009 Star Trek, and then you had Hoth from Star Wars Empire Strikes Back, right?
Yeah, and Rurapente, which is the Klingon prison planet.
Yep.
Yeah, none of those sounded good. The only thing that I could think of, and Matt's going to love this, is I'm going to go to the Hooniverse and go to the planet of the Ood.
Is their planet an ice planet?
Well, at least in the, I think it was the last episode with David Tennant, where he goes to the planet of the Ood, and that's the only thing I got. Everything else sucks.
Yeah.
They have winter on the planet of the Ood, so I'm going to call it a winter planet, and there you go.
Okay.
But I can't think of any good winter planet where things on that planet aren't going to try to kill you.
You are correct. Your answer is correct. Congratulations. Let's wrap up the roll call with the introduction of our guest geek this week. He has been working as a cameraman, editor, and producer since 1993. He moved to London, England in 1999, worked for Discovery, transmitting the channel for a couple of years, then moved back north with his family and started working on films himself in 2001. He did War of the Wolds. Is that how you pronounce it, Rob? Wolds?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, Wolds.
War of the Wolds.
Play on the word, you see.
Yeah, I see, the first time I saw that, I'm like, it's War of the Worlds. And then I watched the video, and no, it's War of the Wolds. I get it.
We live in Lincolnshire Wolds, that's why.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So,
gotcha.
So that was it was a trailer for a non-existent movie, right?
Yeah, that's cool, yeah. We just watched the Spielberg film and realized you wouldn't go 300 miles like Boston to New Jersey like they did. You'd just hide, so we were just hiding in the Wolds.
It's probably the smartest thing to do. Also, other movies you've been involved with, Havelock in 2013, and one that you are kind of in the middle of working on, or funding at least, Grimsby RV. Tell us more about that one.
Well, it was done for the Action Film Challenge, which is held in Florida. We were the only UK team to, well, the only non-American team to take part last year. And we got second place and best visual effects last year. And this year we made Grimsby RV to enter into that competition, which was held on the 24th of August. And out of 18 categories, we got 18 nominations and won 14 awards.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, yeah.
So what?
We'll sign a box.
What's in it for you then? If you win this kind of award, will that help you get jobs or get funding for your film, or what happens?
Well, a bit of kudos, really. The chance to win loads of trophies from loads of Americans.
It's the new revolution. No,
it shows because we don't live within that London M25 corridor. It shows that there's more talent around the country than just in London.
Okay. That's cool. All right, so
it'll probably help you secure more funding in the future for future projects too. If you can say that your team has won that many awards,
There's that as well. Yeah, so we can prove ourselves that we can do it, and we ain't doing it that much. We did do a crowdfunder, so we've got more money to take it a bit further and enter it into other short film competitions. I've got features scripts ready to go, but you need the backing, you see. Yeah. So this all adds to it.
All right, Rob, your hypothetical question this week. If you could remake any sci-fi movie in the history of filmmaking, in all the history of filmmaking, which one would it be and why?
Well, I couldn't really pick one. I'd pick two. The first one would be Capricorn 1, but someone said that wasn't sci-fi, it's more conspiracy theory. You know, the Elliot Gould film?
Yeah.
With O.J. Simpson and...
Yeah, the fake moon landing. Yeah.
Mars, I think there was Mars landing.
Oh, yeah.
But I thought that was a really good film. I really enjoyed watching it when I was a kid and just thought that would be a really good one. And, of course, the other one would be War of the Worlds.
Oh, of course.
The original Wells book.
Yeah.
In, Victorian England, when the machines would really freak people out, when there was no technology that what they'd seen.
Cool.
So that was my two ideas. I just thought Capricorn 1's a new one, and then back in Victorian England with War of the Worlds.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Very, very cool. All right. Good stuff. Well, welcome aboard, Rob. Thank you for staying up late to be our guest on this week's Sci-Fi Geeks Club. I know it's pretty, it's after midnight there, right?
Yeah, it's 2:15 a.m.
Oh, wow. Okay, it was later than I thought. we'll try to hurry things along then. Before we get into the new news this week, of course, we always read the minutes from the last meeting of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. And Brad, we had a totally different cast last week. Tell us what we talked about.
Well, we did. We had Anessa was visiting family, so she was not with us. And Matthew was doing other things, so no Matthew. So we had the folks from Elsnerds come on board, and that's Gregor and Corey. And we all got together, and we talked about these four stories. Gregor brought Vimeo gets 80 episodes of MST3K. With more coming soon. They got the rights to air 80 episodes, and there's talk of maybe making more MST3K, which will be very interesting, because I know that I believe that Joel is doing this, and I know not everybody is willing to work with Joel from the original group, so there would be some slight changes there if they did bring it back. So that was kind of interesting. The story I brought was scientists created basically shape-shifting metal, so we're that much closer to the robot apocalypse, Terminator 2 style with the T-1000. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, it's too bad you weren't. Wait a second.
Okay.
Since Matt wasn't here last week, he's a big not only Arnold Schwarzenegger fan, but Terminator fan. So what do you think of this, Matt? Real life T-1000? Would it be?
1000.
Yeah.
Terrifying. Like, I don't know. I don't want a alloy police officer with metal hands chasing me down and grabbing onto the back of my car. I'm okay watching, silver screen hunk Arnold Schwarzenegger do it, but I don't want it to happen to me.
Okay.
I think you'd be safe if you just bought a really big magnet and put it near the front door.
There you go. With I was thinking.
The way they were changing the shape of this special alloy is they were applying a low level of current to it, and normally a heavy liquid metal will beat up into a ball due to the surface tension, but when they applied the low-level current, it actually flattened it out. So gravity actually was able to act upon it and pull it down. So we were thinking about a couple of ways to get around it. If you had a slingshot and 9 volts, maybe you could do some damage to this robot thing that could be made from this alloy. Green Arrow with his some taser arrows, perhaps, could do some damage. That's the best that we had to defeat said horrible creature that could come for that. So Dave brought the rumor of the week that Shatner, and now it's been confirmed that he was contacted to reunite with Star Trek III. Trek Shatner and Nimoy.
And Brad, we came to the conclusion that we were all against it. We all thought it was a bad idea.
Yeah. It's
well, if you guys all hate it, then I love it.
You anti-disestablishment person, you?
Pretty much.
And the last, but certainly not least, Corey from Else Nerds brought the story, incredible new nanothreads could help us build a space elevator. They're actually able to make a diamond-based thread. So this material is hard enough, I'm sorry, it's strong enough and flexible enough that it could possibly support the weight of a space elevator. So this could be one of the final steps that we need to actually make the space elevator project happen. After many, many decades of speculation and theory, we may have actually reached the point where we've got the materials to actually make this happen.
And we never brought up the possibility of somebody stealing it because it's made of diamonds.
Well, it's going to probably be like industrially made diamonds of very poor quality, but just have the... They don't have resale value, but they would have great scientific value.
Okay.
So.
All right. Thanks for making me feel better about that.
You're welcome.
All right.
And that's it.
That's last week. All right. Let's move on to this week. And Matt, you've got the first story. What did you bring to the table this week?
I was very excited to find this, but out of the blue, Zombieland 2 has been fast-tracked and given a writer. There's been a lot of stuff about Zombieland, the sequel, over the years, and it just kind of disappeared, and all of a sudden today I went to find a story, and wham, bam, there it was. David Callahan, who was the writer for the box office garbage heap Doom, and the Diamond in the Rough, The Expendables, was signed by Sony to write Zombieland 2. The original Zombieland came out in 2009, which I didn't realize it had been that long. And also, Amazon had a Zombieland TV show that I think was supposed to kind of give people their fix instead of the sequel, which tanked pretty quickly from my understanding. Good news, the director of the original Zombieland, Ruben Fleischer, is, as of reading the story, still on board. The wording made it sound like it wasn't exactly a for sure thing that he was going to stick around, which I guess I don't really know if that's a good or a bad thing. I did enjoy the first Zombieland, but I don't think a different director would really destroy it, because they're also saying that they don't know if anyone's even going to come back for it.
So, okay, let's review. It was Jesse Eisenberg, a.k.a. Mark Zuckerberg, right? He was in it.
Yep, yep. Woody Harrelson.
Yep.
The hot redhead from Superbad. Emma Stone,
yeah,
and some other younger girl that I can't think of her name.
The girl out of Little Miss Sunshine, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yes. Yes.
And Signs.
Yeah. There you go. There was a quote in there saying Woody Harrelson refuses to do franchise movies, but that was before he got a dump truck full of money to do The Hunger Games. So they're hoping that maybe money changed his mind and he'll come back.
Now, refresh my memory. Jesse Eisenberg, was this before The Social Network or after?
Before.
Okay. All right. And now he's going to be Lex Luthor is his next big role, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So all these people might be too busy because they're going to be pumping out Hunger Games movies until we're all 75.
Although Eisenberg has done that really cool British film, so he maybe likes to do a big one, then a little one, big one, little one. So he might go back to it.
We can hope. I mean, I liked him in the movie because he's kind of that weird, wienery...
whiny.
Yeah, yeah. You laughed at it, but you know I'm right.
He's the other Michael Cera.
Yes, yes. So going back on topic, Fleischer was previously quoted about the sequel that it's a continuation of the original story with the same characters. He says that, I guess the only one I could really say is that the threat to our heroes wasn't only zombies. Like, they encounter other people and they're all jockeying for positions. I mean, the Zombieland movie itself, I don't really know how you could make a sequel, like a direct sequel, given the fact that they were looking for something, they found it, and they almost all died. So what are they going to do? Go try and find something else?
Yeah, don't call it Zombieland. Call it something else.
Well, and that's the thing. If they can't get all the same people to come back, you might as well give it a different name.
You know, put it in the same universe, but a different name.
Right. I could get behind that.
Oh. Do the whole thing like zombie something else, like zombie world or zombie state or zombie, you know, because it's land, right? So a different version of land, zombie world or zombie continent. That's kind of unwieldy, though.
You remember, like, the Twinkie quest? Was it a Twinkie you was after?
Oh, yes.
I'm not familiar with a Twinkie quest, but it sounds
Tallahassee was always looking for a Twinkie.
And oh, okay.
He was horribly sad that, you know, with the death of pretty much everybody, trying to find a Twinkie, that was just his last little piece of humanity that he tried to enjoy.
Yes. And let's not forget that Bill Murray was in the movie, too.
Oh. Yes, he was.
He will not be back for the sequel because they did murder him, but, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Zombieland in 5 years, you deserve to have it ruined for you.
So, Rob, being a filmmaker, would you want to do a zombie movie someday?
We talked about it because the Action Film Challenge guys do a zombie film challenge where you have to make it in 30 days. But I wanted to do a heist set in a zombie world, like 28 days later. You know, where they come in and they rob something. But Walking Dead is kind of the zombie soap opera at the minute, isn't it? So I really like it. But I've got some friends that really love zombies, but I don't think you could do anything new to it, really.
And that's kind of the problem. Like, zombies are still, they're still the hotness because The Walking Dead is still so popular that everyone's trying to hop on that train. But there's really nothing else you can do. How many different ways can you portray a zombie apocalypse and people trying to survive?
Yeah. And it's quite an easy one to do for low budget because you just buy loads of, like, tomato sauce and spit it out and that's it. You're dead out of it. But I think Danny Boyle and Zack Snyder both brought the zombies really quick, which kind of freaked me out. I don't really like talking about that because it's very scary. But going from Romero, where they're all slow and you could just run away from them, give them a slap, run away. But now these fast ones, you can't catch up with them. They'll catch up with you.
I think the next evolution is zombies on bicycles. I think that's to stand out. That's what you need to do. Zombies on wheels.
No.
You know, what I want to see is, like, zombies doing my taxes.
Zombie accountants.
There you go.
Aren't they always?
Give those zombies some real power.
Aren't, my numbers.
I would prefer, like, a zombie gardener, like a zombie that would mow my lawn.
Have you ever seen the movie Fido?
I own it, but I have not watched it.
Weird.
That's kind of weird.
Does that sound? Yeah, it is weird.
A guy I know is doing a new zombie film called Invasion of the Not Quite Dead. And he's raised all the money through Twitter, through asking people, and he got the lead guy at Gremlins involved, loads of British stars. He's done videos for Wheatus. Wheatus have given him songs for the soundtrack, and they're shooting it at the minute.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Indie Lane Films, yeah.
There's some Britain has some great – has a great tradition in zombie films. And TV shows, like, I really like In the Flesh. Are you guys familiar with In the Flesh, the show?
I've heard of it.
Again, I've heard of it, but
yeah, it's really, really good. It's the first. I think it's the first take on making.
Oh, that's right. They give them the medication.
Yep.
That helps curb the zombie need to eat flesh and stuff. Yeah.
It's very good. It's very good. All right. Thank you very much, Matt. Good stuff. Zombieland 2 coming out sometime. Let's move on to the second story. And Brad, what do you got?
So, stumbling around the internets today, I saw that they had re-released this gentleman who is big into synth music. And in 1979, Bernard Zehner is his name, a French gentleman, created a Dune, the Herbert novel, Dune, concept album. And I believe it's 14 tracks. Let me just double check that. But the interesting thing about it is that it's, like I said, it's re-released. Yes, it's 14 tracks. It was re-released. So you can go to SoundCloud, and then there's where you can actually listen to it. But you can click another link, and you can actually purchase this album. And you can purchase it on a number of different formats. You can get it in MP3. You can get it in CD form.
Vorbis?
I think you can actually, yeah, you can get it in, what's that?
Vorbis? Isn't that a format? Vorbis?
It is a format, but it is not on the list.
Okay.
MP3, Wave, or FLAC, 24-bit Wave. You can get it as a CD, and you can get it in vinyl.
Not that Neil Young weird format that he's doing?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm kind of excited to know more about that format and his player that he invented, essentially. But anyways, back to the story. So I actually listened to this entire album today, and I can tell you I don't like the book Dune. I cannot get through the book Dune. I've always enjoyed the concept of Dune, and when people explain it to me and when I attempt to watch the movie and I fall asleep halfway through every time, I enjoy the concept of it, the space opera. I mean, we see it in Star Wars. We see it in other sci-fi properties. So I enjoy the concept, and I listen to the music, and I have friends that absolutely adore Herbert's work. In the Dune series especially. Excuse me. And I posted this out on Facebook, and I had a number of them kind of check it out, and I haven't heard any feedback from them yet. But each song is fairly long. It's about five. The shortest one, I think, is about 5 minutes. One of them is a minute and one of them is a minute and 10. But the longest one on here is 7 minutes and 21 seconds.
It sounds like the average length of Metallica songs, pretty much.
a little bit. And each of the tracks covers something that was of interest to him in the original trilogy. In the original. So this obviously happened in 79. Since that time, there have been further books that were written based on his notes and other things about the different families, the Harkonnens, and so on and so forth. Really, really kind of a fascinating thing. And listening to music from 1979, knowing that it's synth music, but also it's essentially a lot of sampled stuff too. But sampling in 1979 was recording it onto an 8-track, and you had to massage the heck out of it. You had to re-record it and layer it, and you had to work for it. It's not like you throw it into a computer nowadays and you can just, you know, copy tracks and just lay them out with the click of a mouse. No, you had to work for it. So to listen to that with that in mind, with what he accomplished, with this particular album, it's pretty cool. So we'll have a link in the show notes where you can actually listen to this for free. On SoundCloud, and then SoundCloud has a link where if you're interested enough, you can actually go and purchase the album.
So is it required to get stoned, to smoke some weed?
Well, I was doing this at work, and I can assure you I was not smoking weed or drinking booze or shooting up smack or anything like that. I was.
Do you think the young generation will get it?
Nope.
No.
Well, my daughter got really into War of the Worlds, sorry, the Jeff Wayne album, and the new version of it. Have you seen that? Heard that? Sorry.
No. Mm-mm.
It's pretty good. He re-recorded everything. I think there was only a couple of bits that he left from the first album in the new album, but he basically re-recorded everything again.
Huh.
No Richard Burton. He used Liam Neeson instead, which was a bit weird. But we went to see the show, and the show was really, really good.
Oh, huh. this same guy?
Jeff Waynes, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I've never actually heard of this guy until this story.
You never heard of the Jeff Waynes War of the Worlds?
No, uh-uh. No.
Uh-uh. No.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, so he did a concept album in the 70s, late 70s, and it was like, what a massive vinyl seller, and he just toured the hell out of it, and they brought it back a couple of years ago.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to pull up a screen share here real quick. This is what that album cover looked like. And,
you've got to check it out, Davey. Awesome.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that is freaking awesome.
Jeff Waynes' musical version of The War of the Worlds.
His son-in-law got in touch with me when we did War of the Worlds. Sorry, I keep getting mixed up. and I asked him my intentions because I posted it onto the War of the Worlds website because I thought there's a built audience there, so let's post it on there. And I got this call from this guy called email from this guy called Damien, and I thought he was just this webmaster guy. So I was being quite polite, but I was just like, oh God. And then I got another one saying, no, but what are you going to do with it? So I basically typed this letter out from this Damien Collier guy and typed this email out to say, the thing was a bet and I won the bet and I won a can of beer and, you know, my daughter bought the album and all this stuff. And then I thought, I'll Google him. And it happened to be one of the executive producers of the Steven Spielberg film.
Holy crap.
Yeah. I thought, like, he was after my first one. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, my God. But he was really cool. He was like, oh, well, that's all right. Yeah, you did all right there. So, but nice. I did, for a moment, I kind of freaked a little bit.
Yeah.
My little shed near Grimsby.
Yeah, that'd be a little bit scary at first to find out that that was the person that was contacting you.
Yeah, it was very scary. laughing one at a time. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no.
I would really love to listen to. I think I'd have to be in the right kind of mood to listen to synth music. I'm just not a really, if it's part of something else, like if it's like Yes, where they have other things and they have lyrics, but just synth music, I don't know.
What's interesting is there are certain parts where it sounds like there are voices. You don't hear anything clearly. But it's not just straight up synth. It's also, I'm trying to think of, if you were to take synth, a touch of prog rock, and ambient or house music, electronica, and sort of put them all together, it while it is from 1979, it's better than Tangerine Dream.
Okay.
And the work that they did on Blade Runner, they did the music for Blade Runner. It's really good, and if that's your, I don't know how else to sell it to you. I would just check out the link and give it a listen for a bit, and you can flip through all 14 tracks and give it a listen. But it's really interesting to know that somebody has taken the time to do their interpretation of a sci-fi classic, and kind of put music around it, or try to express the written word through music. I guess that's the only way you could describe that. That's his interpretation of a concept or a person or a character from the book or a place in the book, and make music about it. So it's really kind of interesting.
I wonder how many different concept albums like this there are in the world. Somebody's interpretation of, I don't know, Star Trek using nothing but drums, or, I'd like to find out how prevalent this is.
They used to say Dark Side of the Moon was Wizard of Oz.
Both
off at the same time.
Yeah, have you done that? It does match up. Yeah. I've done that before. It's really cool.
Dave Gilmore said it was a load of rubbish, but if you tried it, then it must work.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, and I remember IO9 had posted something about the human brain likes to make coincidences of things, and that's just kind of how never mind. We're way off topic here, but Matt's giving me the
All right.
So anyways, check it out if you got the inclination and the time.
Okay. All right. Good stuff, Brad. Next time I'm stoned, I know what I'll be going to listen to.
I see. I was going to be like, stoned. Dave, you don't do that. And then I remember you live in Canada. It's cooler.
All right. No, I don't take part in that. Just so I don't want to get in trouble. All right. So my story this week, the return of Lost is inevitable, says executive producer Carlton Cuse. Are you guys excited? Are you Lost fans? If so, would you like to see the return of Lost in some way?
I loved Lost, and then it ended, and I don't want to say I didn't like the ending, but I felt kind of cheated. Because, I don't know, I guess it ended in a fashion in which Lost should end, in which nothing was directly answered, which drove me freaking nuts because nothing was directly answered. You're left to your own interpretations, which obviously allows further discussion, but if you're going to end it, tell me why it ended the way it did.
I don't think there was never any, ever, during the whole run of the show, clear answers to anything.
No, and that's why it made sense that the show ended the way it did. But people like closure. There was really no closure other than if you assumed that they died and the dog was God and yada, yada, yada.
Brad, you're going to say something?
It's one of those things where, and perhaps Rob can back me up here, but I think Americans especially like to have closure. They like to have things kind of spelled out and remove bits of imagination to interpretation of a story. Because you look at some, you know, like I've looked at some films from, you know, like Germany or France and stuff like that, and it really seems like, at least with the films that I watched, is that there was a lot of interpretation, and there's not always, it's not spoon-fed to you, or it's not given absolute closure.
Sometimes you have to work out your own interpretation.
Yeah. And I really think that that's what Lost was attempting to do. That said, I stopped watching it about season 3.
Okay. No, I can understand that.
I lost interest.
Totally. I can understand that. And the way that he thinks it's going to come back is somebody brand new is going to have their take on it. And I could totally see that because my wife and I were talking about this today, and we came to the conclusion that the main character in Lost is the island. And the island is still there, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Nothing happened to the island.
Yes.
It's still floating out there
Correct. Somewhere.
So this guy was on, he interviewed with DigitalSpy.com in honor of the 10-year anniversary of the premiere of Lost on ABC 10 years ago. And Cues compared the mysterious and hugely successful series to C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia, arguing that other writers could easily revisit the Lost Island from a different perspective. Do you guys agree? Could that be pulled off?
I think what he's trying to do there is sort his retirement out, isn't he?
Yeah.
Wring every dollar out of it he can.
They've told the tale of the people of Lost in relationship to the island, but once you've done that, now that we know a bit about what the island's about, and some of the things that the island is capable of, unless you invent all new stuff that the island can do, that just seems kind of...
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I could see your point, Brad. I didn't think about that.
I'm not convinced.
But there's... I mean, it's a big place. There could be other mysteries there. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe something caused by...
Sounds like the leaves on the island are coated in LSD and it all rubs off on the inhabitants. And to be fair, I've never seen an episode. It's just the way you guys or the guy you guys make 24 episodes, it's just too much of a commitment for me. 24, that's like 6 months worth of commitment there.
You know, I totally agree with that. I love the way British TV does their series or their series.
Six, 10 episodes maybe max.
Yeah. Or like Sherlock, the four or five
three.
Episodes, three episodes. Yeah, but they're like they're mini movies though. They're an hour and a half long. So.
Yeah. Hit them all in one hit, one big hit rather than spread it out, I suppose.
So if you're a Lost fan, then you have hope for the future. ABC, Disney owns this, so who knows what they're going to do with it in the future? I mean, look at what they're doing with Star Wars and everything else. So there could be some Lost, maybe a reboot someday. Who knows?
Yeah, you'd think they'd want to come up with something original, wouldn't you? Give someone else a chance. You know, JJ, wasn't it JJ Abrams who did that?
Yep.
Yeah, that was his production company. Yeah.
And Lindoff, he's gone on to direct his own films and, you know, write lots of different other things. So maybe you know, should move on and let someone else do something else. That's what I think, anyway. That'd be my
agreed.
Yeah, that show was pretty much the launching pad for a lot of producers and writers. Lindelof, there was a lot of the other people that have been involved with JJ for a while. Wow, now they've gone off to do other things, so... It was really a launching pad for a lot of those folks. All right, so let's wrap up the week's news with Rob's story. What do you got, Rob?
God, I was searching high and low, trying to find something that would sit right, guys, and I didn't know what to choose. So I found this, and I thought this was quite interesting, that the US and India signed a space agreement, that they're going to work together, which I thought, you know, being sci-fi geeks, is this the start of the Federation?
Good point. Yes.
Absolutely. That's what,
you know, rather than sort of like buying over who gets there first on that lot, I thought, whoa, hold on. They're heading to Mars, which I've got a place in my heart for Mars after my War of the Worlds experiences. I just thought it's, you know, if they can do it, because, I mean, with our film, Grimsby RV, we weren't actually one company, we were a collaborative. We all worked together to do it. So this is kind of the same thing, that everyone's working together and collaboratively can go further.
And,
I just wonder what you guys thought, you know, being Americans, whether you know, outsourcing to India and.
But you know what? I could totally see this making sense, because didn't their recent probe that arrived at Mars, wasn't it like the fraction of the cost of something that NASA would put out there?
I was just going to say it's $78 million for what they launched there, which I don't know how much money we as Americans absolutely piss away to launch something somewhere. But my God, it must be a lot for them to have put, and this is fairly complex, and this is something that, if I recall correctly from reading stuff about this before, not this particular story, but it's got sort of an odd orbit. It comes in a little bit closer at points, and it's taking high definition pictures of Mars.
And those pictures are beautiful too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And in the show notes, we'll have the link that Rob provided for this particular story from BBC News, and they've got a couple of the images, and they're just absolutely stunning. Absolutely stunning.
It cost less than Gravity, didn't it, to send it up there?
Yeah.
It cost less than the film Gravity to get it up there, that's
true. No, seriously,
yeah,
it did.
I think Gravity was like $126 million, and this cost $78 million. I didn't know the figures there. So, but I'm just trying to find a decent sci-fi story that you guys might appreciate.
You nailed it.
You did, absolutely. This is one of those things where you take the sci-fi, and you took the right approach on it. This could be the start of more cooperation with the tensions that we now have between the U.S. and Russia. Things with the International Space Station are growing more interesting.
Yeah.
So we need different allies and partners to kind of cover the what ifs if things go completely south between us and Russia. How are we going to proceed with space exploration? Because we need partners. I don't think that there's any good way to accomplish a lot of the things that mankind needs to accomplish on a single country's budget. You kind of have to pool the resources and the brain power and make that happen on an international scale. So yeah, absolutely.
Like the guy said in Armageddon, you know, Russia and America, and it's all made in Taiwan anyway. So.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, look at the partnership that NASA is doing with private companies now. I mean, they just awarded that huge contract to SpaceX. So it's not only
they
just
still got screwed.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. They should have got a lot more than that. No, I was going to say, you know, it's not just governmental organizations teaming up, but it's governmental and private companies as well.
Yeah, because I did see NASA put a thing out getting asking people to design the new space shuttle type thing.
Yeah, I saw that today. I saw that today. I was really confused as to what exactly that was. It was something Mars related, but it was really confusing as to exactly what it was that they were looking for ideas for. It was very technical, the thing that they were asking for.
I just like the pictures. Sorry, I kind of look at the pictures and thought, oh, yeah, that could be good. I've just seen that many things today.
Yeah, Rob bought Playboys for the pictures, not the articles.
Wait, people bought them for the articles?
Yeah.
There's articles in them?
I bought them to see boobs. I bought the Simpsons one because I kind of wanted to see what Marge's boobs looked like. I'm not going to lie.
It was a Simpsons one, Matt?
Yeah, there was one with Marge Simpson on it. I'm a huge Simpsons fan, so I actually have it like in a shadow box.
You couldn't scan it for me, could you, and let me mail over?
I'd have to take it out of the shadow box, and I don't know if I like you that much.
That's a third date thing. Is that what you're saying, Matthew?
Yeah. We got to go out on a few more dates before I take things out of shadow boxes for you.
Okay.
That's a special kind of relationship. So I was just thinking, you know, let's spitball here. Let's do some dreaming. Where could this federation, this early version of the federation, go next? What's the next step to, you know, team up more, even more? What else could they do, and who could they add to this federation?
Well, it would help the population of the Earth, wouldn't it? If you know, build big ships and go check out some other planets, get out of the galaxy.
I really think that our next stop has got to be the moon or something, because the International Space Station, I don't know how much longer it has.
Not that long. I don't think there's, yeah. I mean, the life of it, it's been around for a while now.
I want to say that it's like 2020 or something, like 2024.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but I know that date's coming up. So I think the moon, or a replacement for the International Space Station, with the thought in mind to launch out to Mars next.
Well, what if they do this? What if they use the International Space Station to actually, or maybe the knowledge they've gained from building the International Space Station, they could use to actually build ships in orbit, just like they did on Star Trek or other space opera show/stories.
But do you think that humans would get over their petty squabbling to be able to do that?
Yeah, that's right now the tensions that we have on Earth between us and China, us and Russia. We didn't actually make a whole lot of friends with the whole NSA grabbing phone calls from people all over the planet. We pissed away a bit of goodwill.
Everybody knew that was going on. It's just that it came out in public. That was all, wasn't it? But, I mean, it's just... Everybody knows. Everybody's listening to what everybody else is saying. I think it's about time we've, you know, moved on.
But you know what? I think going back to Brad's argument, I think that's where these private companies come in real handy, because they have no political ambitions. They don't care if they're working for Russia or the U.S. They just want the money.
No, the thing that really. Oh, I'm sorry, Matt. Go ahead.
No, I was. We're like Canadians. We always say, oh, you can go first. But you're operating under the assumption that a private business has no agenda. And to do so, you have to trust people. And I'm not going to lie when I say, like, I find it really hard to trust someone that I don't know for that very reason, because you get burnt all the time. You know, this guy says he owns a private business and, oh, he's going to do what he wants to do. But then someone shows up with a dump truck full of money and says, I want you to do this. And their morals are out the window because they now have money.
And then you end up with the Weyland-Yutani Corporation from the Alien universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking at how, I mean, Boeing walked in and took the contract that SpaceX really should have had.
Yeah.
And the only reason for that is probably cronyism and the fact that Boeing has had their hand in space at some level for decades. And that's the only reason why that happened. And that's ridiculous. And there's certain levels of privatization, unless you're willing to, you know, do whatever it takes, backroom deals or whatever. I'm trying to be polite because I'm really angry about this. I almost made it very filthy there for a second. But no, I believe that privatization is not always the answer there.
Okay.
But I mean, going back to the Federation thing, wasn't that everybody working together?
Yeah, it definitely was.
But I think they had a common enemy and they had a common purpose too. So we got to find that common enemy and common purpose.
I think we need to go invade Mars.
No, we need.
That's what we need to do.
We need a threat. We need some kind of threat from outside the Earth. That's what Ronald Reagan said back in the 80s, right? That's the one thing that would bring us together. Stop all this squabbling between countries. It would be an outside threat.
Yeah, Rob, if you haven't, have you read or watched the movie The X-Men? Or I'm sorry, Watchmen.
Yes, I've seen the film. Yeah.
Okay. So that's what we kind of need in the comic book and version of it. Ozymandias made a psychic squid that killed all the inhabitants of Manhattan.
Naturally.
And created a common enemy that everybody rallied around, and instantly there was world peace. So yeah, absolutely. But
in that short film we did, Grimsby RV, we tried to do it so it was just the UK that got invaded. And then, because it always seems to be that, you know, whenever there's a big film that's released, it's always like America that gets invaded, like, but everybody else is fine. So we just waited for the UK to be invaded, and they were invaded because the aliens wanted a place on Earth.
There you go.
What is that?
I didn't know why.
Well, on Doctor Who, it seems like the UK is the only place that gets invaded. So
yeah, there are some weird alien looking people around here as well. I'll tell you. Especially in Sheffield.
All right. Are you guys ready? Are you guys ready for the next portion of the show?
I think so.
All right. Let's play the Sci-Fi Geeks Quiz. Here we go. You guys ready? You like my fun?
You're going to explain how this goes to Rob here?
Yeah. Hang on one second. I forgot to open one of my documents, so I'm just kind of trying to kill time here. Enjoy the music. It's our theme for the Sci-Fi Geeks Quiz. And hang on one second. Here we go. I'm opening the document. This is all about your knowledge of science fiction. So, hello and welcome to the Sci-Fi Geeks Quiz. The quiz consists of 5 questions. And after I ask each one, whomever rings in with their name first. So, if you know it, say your name. First person to ring in first will get the first shot at answering the question. If that person gets it wrong, the guest has the second shot at it, but if the guest doesn't know or gets it wrong, then the second person that rang in will get their chance at answering the question. You guys understand?
Yes.
Yes, Dad.
Okay, yes.
Okay. Yes. If one of our panelists are missing, one question at random will be designated to that person, and whomever gets that question right, the point will be transferred to that missing panelist. So one of the questions is designated for Anessa this evening. So right now, as it sits, Brad is winning. I think he's got 5 points. Anessa is in second place with 3 points. And Matt and the guests are tied at 2 points each. So Rob, you are playing for the honor of all guests. I know, okay. It's a lot of responsibility, but you can do it. I have faith in you. All right. So here we go. Question number 1. In honor of Rob's alien invasion movie, Grimsby RV, all the questions on this week's alien, or on this week's Sci-Fi Geeks Quiz is alien related. So here we go. Question number 1. In what year was the original film adaptation of the War of the Worlds released? This is multiple choice. In what year was the original film adaptation of the War of the Worlds released? Rob, do you know the answer offhand?
I think I do, yeah.
Okay, do you want to give it a shot? Give it a shot?
I think it's 1957.
Okay, I'm not gonna let you get that wrong, because this is multiple choice. Your choices are, that's incorrect, by the way, 1952, 53, or 54. Uh-oh. Hello?
Sorry, you kind of broke up a bit there.
Yeah, you're breaking up.
Okay. Your choices are 1952, 53, or 54. Who's got it?
Okay. I think I'll go
1953 is correct. Congratulations, Rob.
All right. Nice, Rob.
Why don't you just give him the trophy?
Unfortunately, I know, Matt. Unfortunately,
of course, that's what they were saying down in Florida, Matt.
Rob, that answer is given to Anessa this week. Anessa, our panelist that's missing, she gets that correct answer. So you won a point for Anessa. Congratulations to Anessa.
Woo!
Was that your good deed for the week? That was pretty rough though, Dave. Like, hey, you got it right. It's going somewhere else.
Hey, this is the way the rules work, and I am the judge.
Oh.
I am the quiz master. I make this quiz however I want to make it. So
I'm only salty because no one got me any points in my absence. Thanks, team.
What? Hey, I missed the question that was designated to you. I didn't know which question it was.
Yeah.
You could have just been like, you know what? He hasn't even started doing that yet. And this is the first week, and Anessa wins, and I never would have even known.
Would you like a hug, Matthew?
I love hugs, Brad. I want two of them.
I think Matt needs a hug. Go ahead and give Matt a hug, Brad.
Are we going to do this over the internet?
Hug break. That phrase has been uttered by so many people in so many different ways.
Oh, there's something not right with you, Matthew.
I had a very large beer, so that's probably part of it.
All right, you guys ready for question number two?
Yep. Yes.
Okay. Question number two. What alien species invaded the Earth in the 2012 movie The Avengers?
Brad,
what's your answer?
The Chitauri.
The Chitauri is... correct, sir.
I knew that. I just wanted Brad to get it.
Oh, sure you did. I believe you, Matt. Okay. I think you guys all have a pretty even chance of getting this next question right. Let's find out. Question number three. In what country does the movie District 9 take place?
Rob. That would be South Africa.
great accent. And it is... correct. Congratulations,
nice.
Brad. I mean, Rob.
No, that was Rob.
Sorry,
give
Rob.
Give me the credit for it. Rob got that one.
So, Matt is now officially in last place.
Someone's got to be the good piece. And I just successfully killed Brad.
Almost. I apologize.
All right. Here we go. Question number four. You can do it, Matt. I know you can. I have confidence and faith in you. Number four, what former ER cast member has been fighting aliens since 2011 on the TV show Falling Skies?
I've never even heard of this show.
I can't remember his name. He's the skinny one with a pointy nose.
Well, that narrows it down.
Okay, what was his character?
Oh, Brad.
Brad.
Noah Wiley.
Noah.
What?
What?
I was right?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I think the guest should get half a point there because I kind of described him.
Okay.
That's true.
Yes. Guest gets half a point. Yes. You are correct. I don't know how to do that with the hash mark, so I'll just go half. All right.
You know what? Give the whole point to him because to the guest.
Okay. All right. You're sacrificing a point. I can respect that.
Awesome. Only half a point he's sacrificing.
No. Nope.
Someone should donate me a point.
Oh.
So, yeah, I don't know you well enough to donate you a point, Matt.
That's a third date thing.
Yeah, it's a third date.
Apples.
Yeah, if you're not going to share your Playboy, your Simpsons Playboy, if you're not going to get it out of the box, then he's not going
to my smart acidness has just come back to haunt me.
If we were sharing, then I'd give you that point, Matt.
See,
I would share my tea and scrumpets with you.
Tea, what?
Scrumpets.
No.
Dumb and Dumber, Rumpets. Dumb and Dumber, nobody? Okay.
No.
Okay, settle down, people. Settle down. Question number five.
Guys.
Question number five. And as my role of the judge, I have the freedom and I have the right to change rules, okay? Rule change for this game only, this game and this game only. The only person that can answer this next question is Matt.
Oh, come on. You just put all the pressure on me.
No,
I have the weight of the world on my back now.
I'm trying to help you out here. Trying to help you out.
I hope the question is like, what color is a red fire truck?
Blue?
Because I know that. No, it's red.
Okay.
Come on, Dave.
All right. Question number five for Matt only. What 1959 Robert Heinlein alien invasion novel was made into a movie in 1997?
You really expect me to know this?
Okay, I'm going to give you a hint.
Oh, come on.
There's two words. I'm not patronizing. I'm trying to help you out, Matt. It's two words. Starts with S and T. S and T.
Well, I feel like the answer would be Star Trek.
No.
And okay, so what other two words? Oh my God!
Alien Invasion. It was a big blockbuster. What's his face from How I Met Your Mother was in it.
You realize I was 12 years old.
But it's been a popular movie ever since then.
Did they do many sequels?
Yes, they did a bunch of sequels. None of them successful.
Oh, by a Dutch director.
I don't know.
Yeah, he directed Arnie, didn't he, in the film?
I don't know. Okay, there's the aliens are big bugs. Matt.
Oh, Starship Troopers.
See? All right, congratulations, Matt.
Even I had to think about that one. I had to search that one on the inner tubes.
Aww.
So don't feel bad.
I guess I didn't really realize that movie came out in 97, nor was that even what I was thinking about. Because I remember watching Starship Troopers because of all the boobs, because I was like 14 when I saw it.
Yeah, that's right. They had the unisex showers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. And then what's-his-face's crazy ex-wife was in it. What's her name?
Denise Richards.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah.
And who was the blonde?
Well, that was the same. Was it Diane Lane? Diane Kruger?
I don't know.
Well, that was Paul Verhoeven who made Total Recall.
Dina Meyer.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, Paul Verhoeven, the Dutch director who made Total Recall, did that.
And yeah, you're right, you're right. And it was Casper Van Dien was the main character, right?
Yeah.
All right, congratulations, Brad. Keeps his lead in the Sci-Fi Geeks Quiz. So we'll see what happens next week. See if the other contestants or other guests or other panelists and guests can pull out it. All right, that does it for this edition of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. I almost called it Curb or something like that. I don't know. You can subscribe to the Sci-Fi Geeks Club by going to galacticnetcasts.com/subscribe. Also, send us feedback, galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. You can call our voicemail number and leave us a message, 805-328-3966, 805-328-3966. I almost forgot, you can also subscribe to us by searching on iTunes and Stitcher as well. We're in a lot of different places. Also, follow us on Twitter, Google+, and Facebook. We pump out news like a mother effer every day, all week long. Science fiction and science-related news sent to your social networks. Just follow us, Twitter, Facebook, and Google+. And thanks again to our guest geek this week, Mr. Rob
Smith.
Thank you. Damn it.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Rob. I apologize.
I don't mind, mate.
Brain fart.
And also, before we wrap up, too, what's your next project, Rob?
We're finishing Grimsby RV, so I'm shooting it this weekend coming. We've got four more scenes to add into it, and we're going to finish the visual effects.
Nice.
So, did you all watch it?
Yeah, we did. Or I did. I don't know. I can't really speak for these guys, but I watched it.
Yeah, I actually watched Havelock and War of the Wolds, but I did not get to see all of Grimsby RV yet.
Well, it gets better at the end. The ending's the oof.
Excellent.
So, yeah, so we're going to make it a lot better. Craig, who does all the visual effects, who I work with, because the Stiff Smith Productions, you see, because he's Craig Stiff, who did Abe, who I talked about earlier on, which you need to check out. And Mouse X, which is live tomorrow morning. He did that as well. But we're going to finish the Aliens.
And we actually talked about Abe before. That was one of the it must have been Sci-Fi Geeks Club that, May, that one of us brought May it last, up.
May last year or May 2012, I think it was. We'd come out. It was a while ago.
Yeah, and it was the horror film of the robot that was trying to fix humans. Yes.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So it's horror sci-fi, and it was just really, really creepy and really good.
Yes, very good. And it's into feature.
Nice.
With the same director, yeah. So, yeah, they're looking forward to it. And the guy's actually in the States now talking to MGM about it.
Oh, nice. That is awesome. Good stuff.
Yeah.
That is very cool.
Hey, Rob, where can people, if people want to follow you online, where can they do that?
Well, I haven't got as many... I'm not in as many places as you guys are, but they can find us on Twitter at Focus7GY or on Facebook, Focus7 Limited, which is the name of our company, or Yellow Belly Films, which is the banner which we did Havelock under, and Grimsby RV, which is a cooperative of filmmakers all working together, which gets us results, you see. Come together, get results.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the theme for everything in life. Come together, you get results.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
And you might even get Matt to share his...
yeah. Come on, Matt. Get with the program.
When you come to Sheffield, Matt, you can bring it with you.
Absolutely. I'll be sure to pack it.
Yeah.
And wrap
thank you very much, guys.
Wrap it tight there so it doesn't break in the box.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club again. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and I call this edition of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club adjourned. Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, Dad.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.